You're listening to the Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy, 2020, Episode 5. You know, it's going to be a special treat if Dr. Rob and I are recording not once, but twice during a calendar week. And Dr. Rob, it's been unlike any week I think we have ever seen when it comes to football. I mean... when we recorded last week, we thought, okay, here's the schedule. Things are going to be moving on pace. Who knows what's going to happen? And a couple days later, the season by the Big Ten has been postponed until, well, what they hope is spring. Crazy shit, man. This crazy shit.
This is the weirdest. You know, I'm trying to liken it in terms of just kind of the news cycle to like a big coaching change. Solich getting fired, Pelini getting fired, coach getting hired, the athletic director firings at Nebraska. You go back to those, it's kind of a similar type of news cycle. But there were some constants there. You were still going to have a football season.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that's now in jeopardy.
Oh, well,
I shouldn't even say it's in jeopardy. I mean, it's probably 60-40 not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, let's start off with that because Nebraska's taking a beating right now. I defended Nebraska this morning on my radio show. It's amazing the amount of Big Ten spirit that comes out, right? It's like you need to fall in line, follow 116 years of history, and don't question what the Big Ten is doing. And I'm like, that's bullshit. I don't. Why can't somebody say, hey, I get it. We're not playing conference games, but we want to play somebody. If we want to play, why can't we play?
Well, I wholeheartedly agree. It is amazing how much the conference expects everybody to just kowtow to what the conference says they're doing. I mean, they want just absolute perfect allegiance. The other thing is the other about the Big Ten is they've got kind of this. I don't know if misguided is the right word, but it's almost like this misguided sense of a fairness that everything has to be perfectly equal. And so if a few of the teams want to go one direction, everybody's got to follow in that direction.
Yeah. Why is that? And I had Scott Docterman from The Athletic on my radio show, and he kind of alluded to that. He's like, you know, the Big Ten's been around 116 years, a lot longer than Nebraska's been a member. And I said, Scott, I get that. But I said, isn't that funny how we want players to speak up? We just went through months of protests where, you know, you're fighting for what's right and you're doing the right thing. But if somebody says, whoa, we want to play football. We don't agree with the decision here. What are our options? And you're like, hey, fall in line. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, and it was the vehemence from some of the, I mean, you look at like Wilbon and Desmond Howard.
Yeah.
Just how strong their statements were. Yeah. And when I read those, I mean, it was awfully surprising to me because if you go back and look at what Nebraska said, it was basically, hey, we're disappointed. We really wanted to play. We're going to try and explore all potential options. Nobody said, hey, we're leaving the Big Ten Conference. Scott Frost himself in his press conference on Monday very specifically said that the best option is to play games within the conference. That was the goal. And so I don't understand why there's this incredible vehemence against Nebraska. Especially when you turn around and other coaches were saying things in a similar vein. Harbaugh, Franklin, Day at Ohio State. I mean, until late in the day today, Ryan Day was pretty much echoing almost exactly what Frost said.
Yeah, what I didn't get is, and I'm with you, and this is what I argued on my radio show. Because people are saying, well, if Nebraska wants to leave, leave. And I said, Nebraska never once said it wanted to leave the Big Ten. What it said is it wants to play football. And if it wants to play Louisiana, let them play Louisiana. If it wants to play North Dakota State, let them play North Dakota State. Who gives a shit?
Well, and that was my logic. It's, you know, I saw somebody, the phraseology was playing extended non-conference schedule. And that kind of makes sense to me. It's, hey, we're not asking to leave the Big Ten. I don't think anybody at Nebraska said that. I say that. Watch this. This is going to come out in 6 months that, oh, yeah, Nebraska's plan the whole time was to basically leave the Big Ten. But I don't think that was the case. I think it was purely, hey, would you allow us to just go cobble this, like an extended non-conference schedule together? We'll go play however many games. If Iowa wants to come along with us, so be it, and we'll do something this fall. And the Big Ten can, whatever forms and waivers the Big Ten Conference has to sign to say, hey, that's fine, you're doing this on your own, we're not accepting any liability whatsoever. This is a Nebraska thing, not a Big Ten Conference thing. Now, I think the problem with that, and I think the reason why there's the pushback from the Big Ten Conference on that, is because the Big Ten Conference also wants to retain all the television rights to any games Nebraska plays. And if they do that, I think that liability creeps back in.
Yeah, I just think Nebraska wants to play, and I don't blame them for wanting to play. Well, you're a doctor, first of all. Is this really about the health and safety of the players? Because
I don't think so.
All right.
No. I think it's purely just a liability concern. And I think it kind of grew out of a handful of different sources. I know a lot of people made a lot about, well, it's a player safety issue. I know on the other end of the spectrum, it's a political issue. I don't view it that way at all. I think it's purely a case of, where you had a bunch of lawyers getting together and got scared, more or less, is what happened. I think the Big Ten also had a lot of pressure on them coming from the Pac-12 conference as well. And that's a situation, they're in a whole nother situation where you look at some of the states like Oregon and California, which have had a number of, at a state governmental level, restrictions on what they're able to do. And so, like the state of Oregon, I don't think they were even able where you could get the teams together to practice until sometime in September. So the Pac-12 conference was already in a situation where they probably weren't playing this fall. I think they put a lot of pressure on the Big Ten. I think they put a lot of kind of planted a seed about the whole viral myocarditis issue, which, yeah, that exists with COVID-19, but it also exists with influenza, the common cold, a lot of the common cold viruses as well, too.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Anyway, my point is, I think they used that selling point. The Pac-12 did use that as a selling point with the Big Ten, basically, because they didn't want to be the only person the only conference forced to bow out of a fall season.
All right, so you bring up the heart deal. Now, I'm not a doctor, you are, but we, of course, on my radio show, I get plenty of people who play doctor. I was told, and you tell me if this is correct or not, because I didn't know whether to believe it or not, that, yeah, it does happen. It comes with a common cold. If you find it, it's easily treatable.
It can go either way. I would probably say the majority of patients do recover.
Okay.
Some patients don't. I mean, I'd be the first to tell you, I have helped treat patients undergoing a heart transplant because they got a viral myocarditis from the common cold. It does happen, and it happens to healthy people. So that's not an unheard of complication. Now, the concern is that rate much higher than it with COVID-19 than it would be with those other viral infections? How much of that are we actually seeing? And in truth, I don't have a good number for you in regards to that question. Most of what I'm going by in terms of it playing football, I mean, being a safety issue, is just sort of the hypocrisy of action here, in the sense that it seems like they're probably going to be okay with teams getting together and practicing, going through workouts, going through off-season workouts, weightlifting, so on and so forth. I don't think there's a marginally higher risk by getting the players together to play an actual game. If you're already practicing, if you're already going through off-season workouts, yeah, there's maybe a little bit increased risk playing the game, but I don't think it's that much more of a risk of having these players hanging around downtown Lincoln and finding some way to entertain themselves for the next 6 months.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. You know, when Desmond Howard went off today,
what a dick.
Thank you. You know what? You're exactly right, because here's what's wrong with that. Feinbaum, when he said Nebraska needs to, you know, apologize to the Big Ten and apologize to Kevin Warren, let me tell you something. Kevin Warren needs to apologize to every school in the Big Ten for his lack of leadership on the Big Ten Network in Dave Revson's interview of him. That was the worst interview and worst display of leadership I've seen out of a person of that high up in a CEO status I've ever seen in sports. It was bad. It was horrible.
In terms of being prepared to answer what I thought were very, very obvious questions, the moment they made this decision, which the decision was a potential, I mean, going back, well, months, they knew this was a potential. It was. I mean, even when they discussed putting a schedule together, when they announced, hey, we're going to go conference only, hey, we're going to release the schedule, Kevin Warren always said, hey, just by the way, everybody keep in mind, this might not happen. And I'm fine with him saying that. And my problem is that nobody considered the flow of information, the alternatives, what the answers to these potential questions were going to be. And a good leader at least has some kind of idea of what the potential answer is going to be. And he was absolutely clueless.
Well, you know, when Revson asked him about was it a unanimous choice? And he danced around it. All he had to say is no. It was a heated discussion. It did not go well at times. There are schools that do not agree with this. But in the end, this was the majority of the vote, and that's what we're sticking with. That's all he had to say.
And I don't get why the Big Ten has to portray this 100% solidarity.
Yeah.
I don't think people care if there's a lack of 100% consensus here. You don't have to have 100% consensus. Hey, we get it. Some schools disagreed. That's fine. You move on. But you sound ungodly disingenuous when you avoid the question because you don't want to say, yeah, there was a lack of consensus here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's perfectly fine to say that. Not saying that just shows lack of balls.
Thank you. And that's what ticked me off about Desmond Howard in the ESPN interview, is that nobody challenges him. I mean, Mike Greenberg just stands there and goes, yeah, and Paul Feinbaum shakes his head. I'm like, come on, guys. You can't give Kevin Warren a pass because that was brutal. And Kevin Warren has botched this from the beginning. And I'll give Feinbaum this, is that he said the timing of announcing, hey, conference only schedule is the Big Ten going rogue. The timing of announcing their schedule was going rogue. What we have now is the
and
SEC.
All of a sudden, the Big Ten's now perfectly right.
No, because what we
that's what I'm that's what I'm saying is all of a sudden, Desmond Howard and Wilbon and all these other commentators are out there essentially saying, hey, the Big Ten is the group that's in the right here.
Yeah.
And I disagree with them.
Okay, so go ahead.
You asked about the safety thing going forward. I mean, just kind of finishing that thought a little bit. It's not safe. I don't know if there's the problem is I don't know if there's a good safe alternative. By playing games, I don't think you're raising risk marginally, and I don't think you're alleviating risk by doing away with the fall schedule. I think we're probably going to be in a similar situation come January, February, March that we're sitting in right now.
So the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 have said full steam ahead. They're going to play football. Now, that can change. I understand that. They still have got, you know, 4 or 5 weeks to pull the plug on this. If those three leagues play, does the Big Ten and the Pac-12 play in the spring? Because what are you playing for?
Television revenue, maybe.
Okay, but
well, I think it turns into. Here's the thing: there's a lot of other little issues at play that have only been barely touched upon, which surprises me because they got touched upon quickly when spring sports got canceled, and everybody asked, "Well, what happens with the eligibility of the seniors?" And so, you've got eligibility now for all four classes of players. What are you going to do with recruits coming in? What happens to recruits this season if that gets canceled? Do they lose a season of eligibility? Does it not count at all? How do you factor that in? And at the same time, too, again, you make a good question. Do you just say, well, if you played in the fall, that counts as the 2020 season. If you play in the spring of 2021, we're going to consider that the 2020 season for you, however many games that ends up being.
Well, you bring up a good point because you're limited. What is it, 83, 84 scholarships, right?
So you've got the scholarship number, and what happens when all of a sudden now you're going to have the equivalent of. And I know this is a concern in Lincoln. You're going to have the equivalent of two scholarship classes in 1 year.
And that can't fly.
Yeah, how do you deal with that, and what do you do with those numbers?
So do you think the ACC, SEC, and Big 12 will play football?
Yes.
Wow. I mean, here's where it all gets screwed up, right? These three leagues – play football, they're done in December and January. Big Ten, Pac-12 play from February into April, and then turn around and play again in the fall. What's a bigger health risk right now? Playing two seasons in one calendar year or COVID-19?
Well, COVID-19's here to stay to some degree, so I don't think you – that's part of my problem is that I'm not sure – how much of a risk alleviation there is by moving the season to the spring. If you could look at it and say, okay, you know what, numbers are definitively dropping. We know we're going to have a vaccine coming out, which, by the way, the numbers of people that are going to get the vaccine, one, we got to know the vaccine's going to work. Two, who's going to get it? Three, right now, the general public has already indicated, a lot of polling that's gone on, up to 70% of the general public has already said they're not going to get the vaccine if one comes out because they're worried about it either A, not working, or B, having unwanted side effects. So COVID's not going anywhere necessarily here. I really don't think it's something that's going to completely disappear. So, again, it's a risk alleviation issue, and I think that's why a lot of the medical advice that's coming from places like UNMC, you look at the ACC, their recommendations that they're following from Duke University's medical community, that's telling these groups, go ahead, go forward, here's what we think is the safest way to do it, and those leagues are following those recommendations. UNMC was giving the Big Ten Conference that guidance, and essentially the lawyers took a look at it and just said, nope, we're still scared, cancel. So it's the thing you've got to look at when you're dealing with any of this is that risk alleviation and whether that risk is going to be reduced by waiting, and I have a lot of trouble seeing that happen. I don't think you're going to have a lower risk by waiting to the spring. There you go. I mean, that's my opinion.
Wow.
As a physician and a scientist, as well as a former athlete, putting myself in that situation, I'm sitting there going, God, I just, knowing what I know, I just don't think you're saving anything by moving it to the spring. I think you're sitting here in the spring looking at this, a pretty darn similar situation that they're looking at right now and going, crap, we should have played in the fall. And I guarantee you, the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12, I guarantee you they were praying that the Big 10 would cancel or postpone. Because they stand to completely mop up if there's transfers, if there's recruits decommitting, recruits that are on the fence that haven't committed yet for 2021. I think those three leagues, by playing this fall, are setting themselves up for an incredible boon over the next several years, just in terms of what they're going to pick up from a recruiting standpoint alone.
The Big 12 and Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner, they held all the cards today. It was interesting, right? Because the SEC and the ACC needed the Big 12 to come along for the ride. And I compared them to, like, it was like the Bachelorette. They were sitting there with the rose. Were they going to give the rose to the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, or were they going to give it to the SEC and the ACC? And they chose a side that was bold, different, because you can always get out of it, right? I mean, I think what those three leagues are saying, listen, it's too early. It's August 12th. You don't need to pull out yet. Why do it? Why commit that early?
And that's a great point. Try it for a little bit here and just – and like I said, absorb a little bit of risk here and see what happens from a number standpoint. If you're having a small number of players test positive, if the symptoms remain mild, if people are doing okay, you quarantine certain players, you might be in a situation like the Florida Marlins where it's like, oh, crap, we got to cancel the next 2 weeks' games.
The Cardinals are worse than the Marlins.
Well, yeah, there you go. But, yeah, like if you end up in a situation like that, it's all right. Well, you got a two-week cancellation, and that team has to shut stuff down, and everybody else keeps moving forward. But you'd have to see, in my opinion, it's not going to be a case of two or three players here, two or three players on this other team, four guys on that other team. That's not what's going to shut it down. It's going to be more like what the Cardinals are going through. It's to get this shut down, you're going to have to see multiple teams with like a dozen plus guys before I think this gets kiboshed.
Well, and that's what's baffling about this, right? Because now most teams have entered under control because they've all been in camp since like June. So why not wait till the general pop, and I'm talking population, gets back on campus to see how this all unfolds?
But I don't think that's much. I think that's a hugely, hugely misunderstood issue. Because you look at UNL, the vast – now again, okay, I get it. There's students have moved back onto campus, but again, the vast majority of classes are still online.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So in terms of a lot of the personal contact that these players would be absorbing isn't there. So there's still a high degree of this – kind of pseudo bubble that at least the Nebraska football players have been in the time that they've been on campus since April. So, and I know a lot of other schools are in that exact same situation. I know Florida State, over 90% of their classes are online. I think most universities are doing that. Again, maybe I'm wrong, and it's only the schools where I've got
well,
family going to that are
no, I mean,
online.
Like my daughter's going to Loyola New Orleans. She has three classes online, two classes in person. My son goes to the University of Kansas. I think he's got like three classes online, two in person. Right. So I think, and it's the smaller, more specialized classes that are in person, and the larger lecture type are all online. So,
and that's the thing. In those smaller ones, you can spread out a little bit, get 10 feet apart, and wear a mask.
Yeah.
So it's I think people have this misconception that, take Lincoln for instance, that 23,000 to 25,000 undergrads are going to pour into the Lincoln campus and are going to be in constant interaction with each other day in and day out. That's just not happening. And so, again, I think it gives you a little bit of this protective layer where, again, I keep going back to this risk alleviation. The players have been doing this since April. Not a lot is changing with them returning to class or with class starting back up. The majority of them are going to be doing this online. So, again, explain to me where this huge increase in risk is coming from. I don't think it's there.
So if the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12 play, and they play an entire season, does the Big 10 lose clout? Does it lose power as an authority in the Power 5 system?
I think they do. You've still got schools like Michigan and Ohio State. Well, I was going to say, at least when it comes to schools that win, you've got schools like Ohio State that have still been a little bit of a mainstay there within the playoff picture. I don't think that's going to change, at least not right away. I do think you get a strengthening of the SEC, the Big 12. I think you get a strengthening of the SEC. Those three conferences, again, are going to see a strengthening by going ahead and playing this. And a lot of it is going to come from recruiting over the next few years. You know you're going to have a conference that's going to stand up for you as a player if you want to play. And I think that's going to get used against the Big Ten and the Pac-10 for the next decade.
As it should, right? Now, and we could be sitting here a month from now going, well, everybody's canceled and we were wrong.
And that could happen. I wholeheartedly agree. I think a lot of the angst just comes from the fact that we didn't try.
Yep, I'm with you.
If they had gotten,
it's like they threw up the white flag. It's like, oh, we're done. We quit. We don't want to try because it may not look politically correct.
It's just it's a liability thing. It was a lot of fear about liability, and I think you had the medical experts saying, yeah, there's a risk here, but we don't think it's a big increase in risk by going ahead and playing the season. And I think the lawyers sat there and went, crap, we're scared, pull the plug. It was purely a legal liability fear that caused them to do this. And I think you could have tested the waters for a couple of weeks.
Now,
giving it a try. Even do creative scheduling. I think Tom Chattel had an article, and this was back a month or so ago, where he had suggested break the schedule up a little bit. Don't even play 10 games. Play 8 games. But go play 2 weeks, and then everybody takes a bye week. Play 2 weeks, have another bye week. Spread the season out over a longer period of time. Have a built-in bye week where you can quarantine players that pop up positive. Do a week-long course of extensive testing. And you'd have a two-week block there in between every – basically every other game would have 2 weeks in between it. You could do extensive testing and quarantining, revamp lineups a little bit, and keep moving forward, even if you did have a number of players testing positive. It's just the fact that there was, with everything else going on, there was so much potential, A, to try this, B, to get creative with things, and keep moving forward, and they didn't even do that. I mean, they're sitting there, I mean, the least creative but most novel way of dealing with this is to cancel the season or postpone the season. There were so many other less novel ways, less what I consider to be less radical ways to give this a try that nobody was willing to look at, it seems to me.
You know, Kevin Warren was described as a consensus builder, as a his type of leadership. Unfortunately, in something like this, he did not build a consensus, and he comes off as weak. I thought it was interesting that your former teammate, Troy Dumas, on Twitter, said he was a teammate of Kevin Warren's at the L.A. Rams.
Not a teammate. He was an admin with the Rams.
An admin, and called him a liar.
Said he spoke with a forked tongue.
But later on in a
that
reply.
That is harsh.
That's very harsh.
Yeah, and Troy's a guy who, which you even said you remembered him from when you first kind of hit the area and covered Nebraska football. The guy doesn't say much.
He's Rob. He's like the most soft-spoken person in the whole wide world. I'll never.
Oh my God, he's incredibly so. But he's a highly, highly intelligent guy. I mean, I always had a massive amount of respect for Troy, and it was everything from the neck up. I mean, the guy is incredibly, incredibly intelligent. When he says something like that, that carries a lot of weight. Now, there were other guys, and it was all NFL guys who were making these comments, but there was a lot of NFL guys who were putting out comments on Twitter. I mean, it was you had guys from the Rams, you had guys from the Vikings. It did not seem like people liked him at the NFL level. The at least from a player standpoint, the players who had to deal with him did not seem to like this guy.
So if let's say the three leagues play, does this cost Kevin Warren his job in the long run? I mean, because you could lose. He probably has the respect of the presidents and chancellors, but if you don't have coaches and ADs behind you, that's an interesting dynamic.
I think it definitely limits his tenure there. I mean, I don't think you end up with a guy like Jim Delaney who's going to be there for a good bunch of years and then retires. I don't see that happening. I agree with you. I think you get a rift between ADs and coaches and university administration when it comes to dealing with Warren. And I think at some point Warren says enough of this and he moves on. I don't know if he goes back to the NFL. I don't know if he goes back to practicing law. But I think at some point Kevin Warren says, I can't deal with that fracture, and I think he moves on.
What I was surprised about this whole thing, you know, in Iowa, you know, you guys give me a hard time about Iowa. But I will say this. Iowa and Nebraska are pretty united in this. I mean, from, you know, the president at Iowa, the athletic director, the coach at Iowa – all wanted to play. They were with Nebraska trying to get other teams to cross into to playing. What I'm surprised at is how many chancellors and presidents weren't on the same page with their AD and coach. How does that happen?
Oh, there's you know that, look at Nebraska for God's sakes over the past few years.
Well, yeah, Perlman was a snake.
Yeah, I mean you had such a rift between admin and the athletic departments over the years that I'm not sure that surprises me. I think the thing that does surprise me, though, is where you look at – I think there was a number of schools where I think coaches, ADs, and administration did, in fact, want to play. I think you had Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Iowa, Nebraska – those are the five that keep getting mentioned.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of in the, well, where there's smoke, there's fire way of thinking that I look at that and I keep thinking, okay, you know what? Those five were probably fairly cohesive between the athletic departments, the coaches and the ADs and the university administration and wanting to play. You look at a school, say, like, let's take Minnesota, for instance. I don't think that happened there. And it's funny because I remember there was some commentary that Oh my God, I just had a complete mind blank. Row the Boat guy.
PJ Fleck.
Thank you, Fleck. I try,
and we're not even drinking tonight.
I try to purge the guy from my memory. I think I remember stuff that it's like bowling and darts. I'm better with a couple beers in me. I've tried to purge the guy's memory. Had my CTE moment there. But anyway, there was Fleck had a video where he was answering some questions via Zoom or Skype.
That was just a couple days ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it.
He looked like a goddamn meth addict. I mean, he just like eyes sunken in. He looked exhausted.
That's what a guy looks like when he hadn't slept in like 10 days.
Yeah, and that's what he looked like to me. Now, maybe he was out rowing boats. I don't know. But he looked just utterly, utterly exhausted.
Yeah, he did.
Completely unlike you normally see the guy.
Pale, just red eyes, droopy eyes.
And then you see the video. I don't know. Did you see the video of Minnesota's president?
Well, she's fairly new, isn't she?
Yeah, and she is. And the statement she released, which essentially, I mean, kind of the gist of it that I got out of it was more or less, this was a wonderful grouping of people who got together and came together in this outstanding, cohesive manner to reach this holy and completely, like, highest level of cohesiveness
she lied,
that
is what
anybody
you're
could ever reach. And I'm sitting here going, okay, here's somebody who's totally bullshitting us, but she had no desire for Minnesota to play football this fall. And I think there's a big – then I'm going back to Fleck's video, and I'm like, oh, my God. He's been fighting with university admin for the last, I don't know how many days to weeks, to try and garner support to play this fall, and got absolutely boot stomped.
Which makes me wonder. Now, this is where the long-term ramifications come in, right? So you come back and you have one good year, and does PJ Fleck say, fuck you, I'm out of here?
And you know what? I hadn't thought of that until you brought up that point, but that's a great point. What happens when a PJ Fleck says, you know what, screw this. I'm going to an SEC school where I don't want to say get my way, but where it's more conducive to me doing my job as a football coach, or a Jeff Brohm leaving to go become a offensive coordinator at the NFL level, so on and so forth. I can see that happening with that situation. If you're at a school, I think at a place like Nebraska, especially with a guy like Frost, where I think Frost had a fairly strong support from the administration. I think Moose really wanted to play this fall. I think Ronnie Green and the rest of the university administration, several regents were voicing support for Frost and what he had said. So I think Frost is in a pretty good position. Looking back now, after looking at those two videos of Fleck and Minnesota's president, I'm looking at that going like, God, I'm betting Fleck wants to get the hell out of there. He has a couple more good seasons, and he's going to be able to pun totally intended here. He's going to be able to jump ship.
Oh, I think so too, because all you point is say, you know what? You didn't have my back. You didn't have my back. You didn't listen to me. And especially if the other three.
And now I'm losing recruits to Auburn because they got to play their season.
Yep. I mean, it's interesting. Again, we're experiencing a paradigm shift in humanity right now, right, with everything that's going around. And I don't want to get into a big political discussion, but I do want to ask you this. Are we seeing now the need for unification within the Power Five? Because the fact that all five can do whatever the fuck they want with no rhyme or reason.
Where's the NC2A in all of
this? Well, that's the problem in this, is they can't say anything because they don't own football.
Yeah, it's you know what, I could see a number of these schools at some point, essentially forming a Well, I guess what are you asking? Like basically, well, like one giant super conference.
Well, no, you still there has to be one unifying voice, right? I mean, it's like, well, the Big Ten says it's not safe because on doctors' recommendations, but yet the SEC says
they're
doctors.
Well, hold on again. You got to realize here, and again, because I know you're throwing that phrase out there as a for instance. This didn't happen because of a doctor's recommendation. This happened because lawyers were scared.
I get that, but that's not what was said. That's not what was said, though.
That wasn't the official reason. That they didn't really say the doctors told us not to do this because the doctors didn't tell them that.
But see, that's
what they said is we looked at numbers and we felt there was this sense of uncertainty. And in the best interests of the players, we made this decision. They didn't say the doctor said this. I think they kind of were hoping people felt that was implied.
That's the way I took it.
I get that. But you got to understand, people have to understand this was talking heads hoping the public would accept that as the implication. But that's not what they were told. This was wholly and completely lawyers made the decision, not the medical community. And here's the other thing to think about going forward in the spring to extrapolate this. You think those same lawyers are going to feel better about making this decision in the spring? You think those same lawyers are going to sit there and go, okay, it's fine now. The risk is gone. Go ahead and play. Those lawyers are going to sit out, going to go out there and say, like, does COVID still exist? Yes. Don't play football in the spring either. That's what's going to happen.
God, I hope you're wrong. I hope you're wrong.
I think I'm right. Of course, I always think I'm right. Anyway, no, but think about it.
No,
lawyers made this decision this fall. This was not a medical – you look at the physicians at UNMC who are on the sounding board and on the – I'm not sure that's the right – it's a task force, I guess, but their recommendation was not to cancel. This was a liability concern from the Big Ten Conference's legal team. Unless COVID disappears by December or January, it's still going to exist next spring. Don't think those lawyers are going to suddenly change their mind and go, the liability's gone. They're still going to be worried. And I think even if the Big Ten, even if the Big 12, the SEC and the ACC go through with a successful season, everybody plays 8 to 10 games, whatever, nobody dies, the lawyers are still going to say, hey, yeah, there's a liability concern here, and we're scared still.
How soon does the Big Ten need to come forward and say, this is what a spring season looks like?
I would hope soon because, again, from a medical standpoint looking forward, I don't have a great answer for you. So I don't know what's changing. They're just kicking the can down the road, and I think they're hoping things change. But right now, from a medical standpoint, we as a medical community don't have a great answer yet. We don't have much of an answer yet. So I'm not sure what the plan is for a spring season, but if you're going to punt the football season to the spring, you better have a concept of what you're hoping to see happen. And we haven't heard that yet.
So what happens to us? What do you and me do?
We're gonna get together and talk ACC football, baby.
Now we're gonna talk the Big 12. Yeah, I guess that's what we're gonna have to do, right?
I'm joking, but yeah, we'll talk Big 12 football and drink beer. So we'll keep doing this, ripping on Kevin Warren, wondering if there's some way the Big Ten could maybe get Ed Stewart to come back and be the commissioner.
Where is Ed now? Is he still at the Big 12?
Still Big 12. There's no way he's leaving Big 12. He's gonna be a Big 12 lifer. He's gonna be the commish someday.
There's another good dude.
Another smart man.
Yep.
So
all right, so that's the plan moving forward is ACC, SEC, and Big 12 talk on the Husker Doc Talk podcast.
Oh my God, how far we have fallen.
Presented by the Remington Trophy. God, we're gonna drink a lot of beer. A lot of beer.
It's gonna be great.
It is, isn't it? All right, buddy. I'm taking my daughter to Nollins. So,
all right. Well, tell you what. Eat some seafood and some Cajun food for me, and tell me how it is.
I'm gonna go to Parkway Po' Boys. You ever been to Parkway Po' Boys down there?
I don't think I have. Love a po' boy.
They have an amazing alligator po' boy that I absolutely love. I go to Muriel's in the French Quarter a lot. And then I tried it. The Blind Pelican, I think, is open back up. They have 25-cent oysters during happy hour. You can't.
Oh,
I know.
I have been there.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with the Blind Pelican. That's right on St. Charles. So
Yeah, it's I was going to say that New Orleans is it's absolute heaven for a food person.
I'm sending my daughter to the biggest hotspot of COVID there is, and I'm not scared.
You know what, though? I think she's going to be in a set. She's going to essentially be, in my opinion, kind of a bubble setting where she's at.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, Loyola's uptown. It's not like it's down by the Quarter. I get that. And they'll be on campus. So
stay in the Garden District. She'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you all right there. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next time. All right?
All right. Safe travels. And we'll talk in a week or so here.
And by the way, if you don't follow Dr. Rob on Twitter, please do so at DocTalkSports. If you have questions for us, feel free to email us, DocTalkSports@gmail.com. We're going to keep going all season long. We'll have some fun. Or as long as they're playing football. Hell, Rob and I really don't need an excuse to get together to talk. So we'll do that throughout the fall.
Beer.
Thanks for joining us on the Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy.